heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
This is The National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry, Communications Director for the VFW. And as always, Jerry, we do this show for one reason.
That's for the men and women serving on active duty, the Guard and Reserves, to the millions of veterans out there and all their families. This show's for you. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
Hey, and this time of year, especially people at, you know, doing stuff for the troops, which we absolutely love. Love to pace that out and maybe extend it for the entire year. But, you know, love you for doing it. And a lot of examples of that. In fact, one really special example we're going to get to this hour.
You got it.
The Wreaths Across America. We'll tell you all about that. And hey, we got to say a very big thank you to Sport Clips, our buddies over there at Sport Clips, and Gordon Logan and that gang. You know, last year they started this program. They had a special haircut day,
right?
And donated, I think it's a dollar from every haircut through its 600 locations across the country for Operation Uplink for the phone cards.
Yep.
The numbers are in. This year, their goal, last year their goal was $30,000.
Yeah.
And they beat it. They beat it by about 50. This year their goal was $100,000. They beat it by almost 20. So $118,000 they raised through Sport Clips, good for more than a million minutes of talk time. To VFW's Operation Uplink. So that is huge.
Yeah, special thanks to Gordon Logan and all the Sports Clip staff throughout the country. Yeah,
just incredible. Anyway, we got all that coming up. We'll tell you more. And we're also going to talk about what the VFW actually means on the way this hour on the National Defense.
This is the National Defense.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Veterans of Foreign Wars believes in active allegiance to flag and country. Through legislative activism and service to our military forces, veterans, their families, and communities, freedom starts at home. Pledge your allegiance again. If you're a veteran and served overseas, you may be eligible to become a member of the nation's elite veterans organization, the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
You've served your country, now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
So, it's my first day to be a big brother. Wait, so what am I going to do with this little guy? Maybe I'll take him to a movie. No, not big enough. A museum. No. I'll take him to a carnival. Yeah, we can go on a Ferris wheel or a roller coaster or a plane ride or hot air ballooning. It's got to be big. It's got to be huge.
Hi, I'm Alex.
Hey, Alex. I'm Felipe. So, what do you want to do today?
I was thinking maybe watch the game on TV.
Yeah, cool. I was thinking that too.
When you're a mentor, it doesn't matter what you do. See a movie. Play catch. Or just go for a walk. The important thing is spending time together. A little of your time means a lot to a kid.
This is Laura Bush. Help America's youth. Be a friend. Be a mentor. Just be there.
To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry. And, you know, Jerry, this time of year, and we talked about it a little bit last week on the program, you know, how people, it's always great to see individuals, companies, different groups getting together to do some really great things for the troops and to show their support for the veterans.
Right. And we have a great story coming up and a great guest. VFW actually honored Mr. Morrell Worcester some years ago, a couple years ago, I think. And we did it because this is an incredible American story, mm-hmm. only in America. And it starts off, he's an adult. He's a very successful business owner, worth about a zillion dollars. And This is one of those American stories that you know the idea, the concept for this project started when he was just a young man. But I'm going to let him tell a story, and it's if anyone isn't touched by this, then they don't have a heart. And it's a great Christmas story, perfect time of year.
Great anytime story.
Yeah, I mean, great anytime, but especially right now.
Moral Worcester joins us. Moral, how are you?
Very good.
Thank you so much for being on with us. And, you know, Jerry touched on it. What a great story. What a great situation. Wreaths across America. Can you kind of get into to how this whole project started for you?
Yeah, and Moral, you have to start when you were 12 years old.
Yeah.
Start from the beginning
right here.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, Jerry, when you said that I was worth a gazillion dollars, I think you may be a little strong there.
I only said a zillion.
Yeah.
that was just yesterday at the close of yesterday's market. So, I mean, things have changed.
Yeah. Well, Bill Gates would, I think Bill Gates may have me a little.
Yeah, okay.
But, again, I've been blessed with a great family and a great business and only in America can you do that, I believe, and I know that the veterans have played a tremendous part in why we have the freedom and protecting the freedom for all of us here in the United States, and I just wanted to give back to them. But you know how this thing got started. The what's known now as the Arlington Wreath Project is back when I was 12 years old. I was a paper boy in Maine, and I won a trip when I gained a certain number of customers. I won a trip to Washington, and some of the sites that we saw, or one of the sites I saw in Washington, was Arlington Cemetery, and I just never forgot that. And then later on, by mistake, I actually bought too many wreaths one year back in '92, and I didn't want to throw them away. They were nice and fresh, and we did have a very good year that year. And these wreaths were surplus to me, and I thought about what to do with them, and I thought about Arlington, and if I could get permission to put those on the graves at Arlington, I would, you know. And it ended out being that we got the permission, and we did that, and it was so well received that from that point on, I made the wreath especially for Arlington, and then it just grew from there.
Yeah, you're okay. You're downplaying your role in this, and you're a humble guy, and you don't want to pat yourself on the back, but we're going to.
Yeah.
You make it sound like an easy thing. You had these excess wreaths, so you just picked up the phone and called Arlington and took them on out there. But it was a lot more involved. I happen to know that you just don't pick up the phone to Arlington and get something done. How long did that process take you?
Well, it really, Jerry, it didn't take that long. I had the help of Olympia Snow, the senator from Maine.
Right, great senator, yeah.
And she, her staff, got right on the phone to Jack Metzler, who was the superintendent of Arlington, and they said what we wanted to do, and he basically said, well, you know, this guy must be a nut, but we're willing to try it. If he wants to do it, well, we'll give him a section to do. So that's really how it happened. It only took 3-4 days to get that done.
Well, that's you did very well on that.
Well, when you say section too, how big, how many wreaths are we talking about there, Moral?
Well, it was 5,000 wreaths that we took the first year.
Wow.
Now, and by the way, I got to tell you a little story about that. Once we got down to Arlington with the truckload of wreaths and started to put them out on the graves, and there were only a dozen people or so there that day, it took 6 hours to put the wreaths out. But anyway, about halfway through the load, this area was growing and growing and growing. I don't know how many acres we'd covered, but A couple of the officials of Arlington Cemetery, every once in a while, they'd drive by and see how things were going, you know, and this kept expanding. And one trip by, they both stopped, and they come up on the hill where I was, and they said, well, who's in charge of this? And everybody pointed at me, and they come over, and they said, geez, you know, how near do you have the truck unloaded? And I said, well, I think it's about half done. And they said, geez, who's going to pick all these things up when you get done? And I said, well, geez, I don't know. I guess you guys are. And they kind of shrugged their shoulders. They shrugged their shoulders and got back in their car and left. And they kept an eye on us the rest of the time. And when we got all done, I mean, the place looked, this area, which is Section 27 at the time.
Now, that was a section that was sort of not forgotten about, but wasn't visited that much anymore.
Right.
Is that correct?
It's a very old section of the cemetery. But anyway, they after it was all done, they came back to me, and they said, you know, this looks so good. Don't you worry about it. We'll get them cleaned up later. It was very, very good.
Now, the wreaths, before they were delivered, you had volunteers help decorate these wreaths, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And how many volunteers did you say you started out with?
Well, at the cemetery, there's only about 12.
About 12. 5,000 wreaths.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Took us 6 hours to put them out.
And we have to give some credit also, honorable mention, because I know we honored both of you at our national convention. I think that was 2 years ago, am I correct?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The truck. Now, you didn't have that parked in your driveway. Somebody helped you out with that, right?
That is right. The fellow that owned the truck, when I got the idea to do this, I said, well, geez, we need somebody to haul them down there. So I called my friend up, Bluebird Ranch Trucking Company it was called, and I told him what I was going to do, and he said, hey, you know, what time do you want the truck over there? We'll make sure that it gets done. So he did.
That's not a short haul from Maine to D.C., is it?
No, 770 miles. I've been there many a time.
Wow.
Well, you know, and you think about that's the first year of this this venture, and to start out, that's a pretty big first year.
I mean, yeah, 5,000
yeah. wreaths, and
well, I'm really embarrassed, but I had about 8,000 wreaths left over, so and I took five out of the eight down there. So.
And Morrell, just for the people that don't know, you know, people, what's a guy doing with that many wreaths? He's got a wreath company.
Yeah, I mean, we do. We've been, like I say, we've been very lucky in what we have, and.
Well, and by lucky, if you mean the world's largest producer of holiday balsam products.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told you he has $1 zillion.
Yeah, right.
It's up to a quadzillion now.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
A zillion wreaths.
So what happened in next year, Morrell? First year, 5,000,
yeah.
And then what?
Well, it was the next year was 5,000 as well, but we didn't have them left over. We actually made them. Made them specially for
oh,
that.
Oh, okay.
I want to say this, too. I think for the next 13 years, we at the end of the season, we just made it a point that we were going to make 5,000 wreaths and take them to Arlington. So,
and how are they? How are they decorated?
They just have a red ball.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think they're 22 inches in diameter, just a green wreath with a red ball. And, you know, since then, it really, that wreath is known as the Arlington wreath, you know? The term was coined that it's an Arlington wreath. So.
And I've seen I've seen some photographs of the graves at Arlington with the wreaths, and it's a magnificent sight. It just gets you, Randy. You know, my heart hurts when I look at that.
I got to tell you guys, too, that this is, if you look at this, this year here is 17 years that we've been doing it. But the first 13 years, we did just the 5,000 wreaths and did it on our own. And we'd go down, make it a point to go down and decorate the section that the superintendent wanted us to decorate. And then we'd leave and come home, and that would be the end of it. But back in 2005, after we'd been there and decorated the section that he wanted decorated, it had snowed there in Washington, and there was 2-3 inches of snow on the stones and on the wreaths and so on. And a guy from the Pentagon, a photographer from the Pentagon, happened to be over to Arlington and just walking around, looking around, and he came upon the area that we had decorated, and he took a photograph. And probably you've seen that photograph on the Internet.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. That photograph actually went worldwide, and it just made the Arlington Wreath Project into Wreaths Across America, now it's called. And, after that, everybody and their brother, so to speak, knew about what we had done. And, you know, it is really so good because, you know, everybody, I didn't realize there was that many people that felt like I do. But there's literally millions of people that feel like I do.
Now, you provided the impetus, you and your volunteers, your project, for Wreaths Across America. And that's exactly, it means what it says, that all across America, volunteers are honoring our nation's veterans by placing wreaths on local cemeteries, correct?
That's right. I think it's 354 state and national veteran cemeteries and monuments that now are decorated.
And that's... I mean, that's an amazing thing when you think about it. 354 national cemeteries across America, people taking time out during the holidays because they know it's the right thing to do. And you said it best, Morrell, that there are thousands of people who feel exactly like you do.
That's right.
And I can tell you... because as communications director for the VFW, my phone has been ringing off the hook from people, from VFW members who are involved in this project.
Yep.
And who are asking for speeches, which I happen to write.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you for all that extra work. That
yeah.
No, just kidding. I can only say that I only hope I've put together some good words for those people because
yeah.
It's I found myself when I was writing about this that I wish I had the opportunity to just shake your hand or give you a big hair bear hug and a big slobbery kiss or something because I mean this is just simply a great American story.
Well, again, I appreciate it. This Wreaths Across America thing is expanding all the time. And by the way, this is a Wreaths Across America is a nonprofit corporation now. It's called WreathsAcrossAmerica.org, and they have their own board of directors and made up of. Many people across the country, and and they're all super people, and their aim is to, you know, to honor the veterans and to remember the veterans and their families, and I think the number one thing that they're trying to do, or they and me, are trying to do, is to teach the next generation, you know, the value of what we all have.
Right, cause
and where that came from.
Because you have a lot of scout groups and youth groups involved in this project.
We really do. There's a lot of VFW groups, as you just said. But, the American Legion and the Civil Air Patrol and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and public schools and, I mean, you name it. Now, somebody estimated that the number of volunteers involved in this now is about 60,000.
Wow.
So it really, yeah. and it's just, it's great because there's 60,000 people that get it, so to speak.
And 60,000 people that are taking the time out of, you know, these other everyday activities to just to pause and reflect on what it all means. And you know, that's the thing. And I'm sure, Morrill, you knew that from the very first year, after you saw the response to the initial 5,000 wreaths at Arlington, you were locked in. I mean,
this
was never going to be a one-time thing, even if you wanted it to be, right? I mean,
that's right.
That had to be some kind of response. How do they determine which sections?
It's the older sections first, you know.
Okay.
Because they really don't get the personal attention.
Right.
Now, as you know, you've been to Arlington. It's very well kept. I mean, you know, there's not a leaf or anything around anywhere, and it's just very, very nice, nicely mowed and all that. But there's areas that really don't get the attention because they're just the older areas.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done almost every one of those over the 17-year period. So now we're starting to do some of the newer ones, but those sections are picked out by the superintendent, and we do whatever he wants done.
Hey, on a personal basis, you've already stated very elegantly your reasons for doing this, but when you're at Arlington and you're placing those wreaths, I got to believe that you guys aren't just throwing them down. I got to believe that you pause at each headstone, and do you think about the person behind the name?
Well, I got to tell you, Jerry, is that because we have so many volunteers, this year was over 5,000 people at Arlington for the wreath laying, and we only had, 10,500 or so wreaths this year to put on the graves. Well, there's only two wreaths apiece. And before the wreath laying started, people were told, you know, take the time and read the stone. And then we even had a sticker made up so that you could actually copy down what it said on the stone and a place for you to sign it and date it and take it with you that you could remember that person. And it might have been that that's the first time in 25 years that anybody ever stood in front of that stone, you know. So
right.
it meant a lot, I think. And people did exactly what we said. They took the time. So people would come with their families, you know, and take a wreath or two and go, and they'd be gone 20 minutes on just putting those two wreaths down.
Wow. Right.
And it's really, I think it's a great tool to teach people what this is all about, you know,
it's so important, and especially to the upcoming generations that they do understand that all those stones represent a person, represented hopes and dreams and sacrifice. Hey, we can't do this interview without mentioning your wife, Karen. Otherwise, you're going to have a rough time at Christmas.
That's right.
So, your wife, Karen, she must be an incredible woman to get involved and support
us. To put up with me.
I didn't say that, no. But
no, she is.
And just give her our best, and you know, I can't say enough good things about you and all your volunteers in this amazing project.
I want to, before we, we'll probably run out of time, I don't know, I wish we had an hour to talk because there's so much to talk about, but
Talk to me.
Well, I do want to say that, you know, it's far from being, this project now is far from being Worcester Wreath Company or me or Karen or whatever. It's there's many, many people involved. And this year, across the whole United States, there were 105,724 wreaths placed on veteran graves, you know. And to think that it started with just 5,000, it's amazing. Now, and I just want to say this, too, that Worcester Wreath Company, you know, we're the biggest donor to wreaths across America, and this year we donated about 25,000 wreaths. But you've got to look at the other 80,000 which were donated and sponsored by individuals and companies, big and small, all over the United States. So it's, again, when I say that there's a lot of people that feel like I do, it's certainly that is the case.
It's just great. And Morrell, if they want to be more involved with that, become a sponsor, they want to get involved in the project, they could just go to wreathsacrossamerica.org.
Yeah, that's right.
Find out more information. I'm sure a lot of people have done that. So.
Now, I got to tell you another thing, too, is that those wreaths were the first year and right till now have been hauled absolutely free. Well, now we have 15 trucking companies across the country that hauls those wreaths. They haul the wreaths free. And then not one nickel is paid to those people. They just do it because they want to, you know. And I'll say, too, the biggest, and I'm proud that the Worcester Wreath Company is the biggest single donor. But the second biggest is Walmart. Walmart has stepped up in a huge way to help Wreaths Across America, and it's incredible, you know, what they've done.
So this is America's project now.
It is. Absolutely. And I tell you, I'm very proud that I started it, but it's far from being me, you know. And it's great.
Well, you built a foundation for it. And again, this is America's project, America. Americans all over the country have embraced this. You know, if you go to your website, wreathsacrossamerica.org, there's a great quote by Ronald Reagan. I'd like to read that for a moment. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on to them to do the same, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. And that's a great quote. And, hey, listen, people, again, this is America's project, Wreaths Across America. Go to their website, wreathsacrossamerica.org, and, you know, get involved in this. Do something special during the holiday season. Do something special with your family, with your kids.
Yeah, grandkids. What a great lesson for. I mean, you talk about taking a family there, taking some kids there.
Yeah.
Wow. They're going to remember that the rest of their lives.
They will, and they'll pass that on, and you know.
And that's all it took for Morrell.
That's right.
So, Morrell, thank you so much for everything you've done for.
Well, certainly welcome.
It's Randy. I'm sure you're going to agree with me. This is one of the proudest moments. You know, we've done thousands of interviews on the show, but this is one of our proudest segments.
Absolutely.
Right here.
Absolutely. Just thank you so much. And you know, just have a great Christmas.
You too, guys.
I mean, you've certainly earned it. So, well, thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
WreathsAcrossAmerica.org. is where to go for more information. But that, man, that is amazing.
It is amazing.
And I have heard a little bit about that, and I've seen that picture
that
he's talking about that was distributed, but I had no idea. I mean, it was that large an effort now.
Right. And
15 trucking companies?
15 trucking companies, over 100,000 wreaths.
Wow.
You know, here's the thing. You can try and teach your kids. You can send them to school. You can try and pound it into their heads, you know, what it means to be an American, all the sacrifices. But you know what? I can't think of anything that would be more effective, that would have more impact on a young person than taking them to a national cemetery. Give it two wreaths.
Yeah.
Two wreaths.
Yeah. Two wreaths in 20 minutes.
And 20 minutes in having them take a moment and think about it.
That's pretty amazing.
It's a great story.
Well, and it's just like that. I mean, you know, and Morrell is so humble about his
part in the whole thing. Like, you know, it was no big deal.
Yeah, I started it, but now it's
We took him to Arlington, you know.
Right. Yeah, 5,000.
Yeah.
It's just sensational. And the fact that he's, you know, as successful as he is.
He is. This guy, I bet she does have a zillion dollars. Did you read his bio?
Yeah.
I mean, he's involved in everything. But the important thing is he understands, and he doesn't make any bones about
it. Well, that's it. I mean,
only in America would he have the opportunity. And he appreciates it. So many people don't appreciate what they have, Randy.
And he doesn't appreciate it just once. He appreciates it every day.
Every day.
You know,
that's right.
That's what's
amazing
so great.
Guy.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
We're standing guard with the truth. The National Defense.
The following letter was written by Technical Sergeant Jerry G., U.S. Air Force.
I've just finished reading over some of the correspondence you've sent us over here. And for an old dog like me, I was choked up. Thanks to each and every one of you. You're the reason why I have proudly put on the uniform of the American forces, to serve folks like you, those we all love and honor, and those who do not have what we have, but who are willing to stand next to us and fight for their own freedom as well. So the next time you see one of my brothers or sisters in arms, shake their hands or pat them on the back. Tell them you support them. This is what we cherish more than anything.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
What do you want from the Wizard of Oz?
Just messing with you. But seriously, people don't want to stand in front of my big, awesome wizard head and hear me going, duh. They want answers. That's why I go to USA.gov, the official source for government info. It gives me the smarts to go with the show. Say someone asks for a brain. I go to USA.gov, type in student loans, and 4 years later, they're chock full of knowledge. Is the Wicked Witch terrorizing your neighborhood? Well, move. Then search USA.gov for change of address form so your friends can find you and the witch can't. How about if you're stuck here from Kansas and want to go home? Well, check out USA.gov for the latest travel restrictions and passport applications. I even use it for myself. Bought my sweet ride at a government auction I found on USA.gov. I call it
the Wizmobile.
Balloons are for squares.
For federal and state government information, there's no place like USA.gov.
Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, you know, this is our last show pretty much for the year.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to go into some best of situations. You can hear everything we've talked about during the year in the next couple of weeks. But, you know, it might be a good idea right now just primarily for the VFW to kind of clear up some things, some misconceptions that we talk about from time to time, but really don't address what people think about the VFW, what some of those misconceptions are.
Right. And we should talk about why it's important for someone who has served in the military to join a veteran service organization.
Absolutely.
Fact is, we know this. A lot of them don't get it. But the fact is, Congress, any Congress, and any administration just doesn't provide benefits out of the goodness of their hearts. It ain't so.
Really?
That's why the VFW was founded in the first place.
Well, you always hear about these people, lifelong members of the VFW.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm sure in a lot of people's minds, they go, well, unless I joined the VFW 60 years ago, I can't get in.
Yeah, that's nuts. Yeah. And our next guest, and listen, this isn't a recruitment drive, but our organization does so many good things, important things for so many people, not only veterans, not only members of our military, Guard and Reserves, and all of their families.
Right, families.
But for our communities, for our country as a whole.
Right.
So, you know, let's clear the air here. And with us today is the Associate Director of VFW Membership, Bill Bloomquist. Hey, Bill, how are you, man?
How you doing, Jer?
Good. Hey, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
All right. You probably heard me go on and on and on and on. First of all, perception, stereotypes. VFW guys, and first of all, we have women in the organization. We need to talk about that, too. Remind me.
You betcha.
VFW is just a bunch of old guys sitting around sucking down the suds and telling war stories. True or false?
Well, the perception is that is what we are, but that is not what we are. We're a veterans organization of veterans looking after veterans.
How old are you?
I'm 46 years old.
And where did you serve?
I served in Desert Storm in Kosovo, Global War on Terror, did 24 years active military service in the United States Air Force.
So you're not exactly an old folk, are you?
Oh, I wouldn't consider myself.
Well, I wouldn't either. Okay, so you're not an old folk, and you're not sitting at a VFW post sitting around sucking down beers. You're active in a national organization. At a national level.
Well, yeah, and the thing is that people need to realize that the Veterans of Foreign Wars does more than just sit around sucking suds.
What do we do?
Well, one of the things that we use is an old Vietnam sort of acronym called VC Lai. And one of the things that we do is veteran service. When I talk about veteran service, we got service officers out there able to assist our veterans that need the help that they need right now. Especially these guys coming back from overseas, one of the biggest things that they're finding problems with is getting in contact with the VA and getting through the system.
All right, let's back up just a step. Service officer, I know what it is, you know what it is.
Sure.
But part of the problem is, I think anyway, people don't know what the hell a service officer is. What is that?
Well, a service officer is a trained individual that will assist that veteran through the quagmire of red tape that the VA puts on our service members to get them the disability claims that they are so entitled to.
What do you mean? A veteran just can't go down to a VA regional office and fill out some paperwork and give it to the person at the VA and a few weeks they'll get their benefits?
No, not at all. Sure, they can. They can go down there, but what they need to do is have the Veterans of Foreign Wars be their veteran service organization of preference.
Yeah, the power of attorney.
You betcha. And that's the most important thing is the VFW is going to be able to help these young troops come back, get through that problem of all the paperwork that has to be accomplished.
Right, and you said it right. It's a quagmire. People don't understand that the laws, whatever title it is, chapter it is, that applies to veterans is... It's almost like the damn tax code.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, Jerry. There's more volumes in this thing than the tax code, probably.
Right. And there are so many what-ifs and whatevers and who art thous in those laws that the key word, you mentioned it, our service officers are professionals.
They're trained.
Right. And the VFW they demand... our service officers just don't get trained at the beginning when they start their careers, and that's all training they get. They have mandatory training sessions throughout the years, and they have to be certified by the VA.
Right. We certify the best of the best.
You got it. Good. So give us something else here.
Okay. Well, that was the first thing about the VC lie. You know, we have veteran service. The next thing we do is community service. I mean, we are within the communities helping our communities understand what the Veterans of Foreign Wars do, as well as get out there and hold those fundraisers and hold those things for different organizations such as ours and get some things done. I mean, we're out there in the community every single day, and one of the most important things is we have our youth. I mean, what we do for our youth is unbelievable, and that's I should have not skipped over all of the C, but let me go regress back to the L. The L is legislative service. Legislative service is one of the forefront of what the VFW does. And when we talk about members joining the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and I know everybody hears the same old thing, one more member, one more voice. Well, when you add up the membership of the Veterans of Foreign Wars and its Ladies Auxiliary, somewhere in the region of 2.2 million members, that is a voice that our politicians listen to. Every single member that we get is another voice to make sure that the rights of our veterans are upheld.
Why is that important?
Why is that important?
Yeah, why is it important that we have a voice on Capitol Hill?
Because if we do not go out and support it ourselves, nobody's going to support it for us.
So, in other words, the new GI Bill that was just passed, GI Bill for the 21st century.
VFW was on the forefront of getting that passed for our military members, and that's the most important thing right now for our young military, is to know that they can pass that down to their family now. You know, us of the previous generation, Jerry, we did not have that.
That's right.
And this is a great thing for our young military.
And not only for our military, but it's going to be a great thing for our country.
Our country and the families, because, you know, this is something that education today is so important to get ahead in life. And now we can make sure that our families are taken care of.
So we have a nationwide network of service officers that helps, and it's not just recent veterans. There's still Vietnam era veterans, Korean War veterans,
sure, even World War II veterans.
Right.
I mean, when I go to the VA hospital and I go by our VFW service office in Kansas City, the line is out the door, and it's all generations.
Right,
all generations.
And Jerry, Bill, it's Randy Miller. I just had a comment on the GI Bill and the service officers. I mean, that's great that the VFW has helped push through this new GI Bill, but sometimes without the help of the service officers, the guys won't even know how to get it. I mean, some of this new the new things that are coming down right now,
right,
especially, are confusing, and how do you get through that and that quagmire that Bill's talking about?
That's right.
And more than ever, you need a representative to help you achieve that.
That's exactly right.
That's very true. And one of the biggest things that we need to do is outreach. We need to get the word out, and this radio show is a great way of doing it.
Absolutely. Say it again.
I'm saying outreach.
No, radio show. Absolutely.
I'm going to say the radio show because the radio show is important. It gets that message out to those listeners that, look, there are ways that the VFW can help you, and all you need to do is either pick up a phone, call a local post, or go online at vfw.org and take a look at the website and see what we have to offer. Okay? You know, they always say, you can't wait for the veteran to come to you. You have to go out and seek out that veteran and help them.
Well, because a lot of times they don't know what they need.
Right.
That's right.
That's totally right.
And a lot of times, you know, we have a way of looking at things now. I'm a little bit from the old school, and we got people up here from the new school that are pushing the internet and pushing these younger veterans to go into the internet, and that's where they are today.
Right.
But we still have a large amount of veterans that don't know how or don't have access to that type of thing. And they're here listening to us on the radio now and saying, well, where can I go? Go to your local library. Take a look on the internet and say, look, I need some help. I want to look up VFW.org, and I want to see what they have to offer. And it tells you everything that you need to know about the VFW. And it's a great, great service.
It's amazing, too, when you check out the website, how many programs are available. And Bill, you're talking about the community stuff that the VFW does that not even connected to veterans.
You betcha, especially the children.
Yeah.
The last thing out of the VC Lie is our youth.
Well, we have so many programs, and we just don't have enough time to talk about them now. One important thing, one last thing, because we've only got a few seconds left, Bill.
Okay.
Hey, I'm in the military. I'm not a veteran yet, so I can't join the VFW.
Well, that's not true. That's totally not true. I mean, you're in the military. You've served overseas. You've got the campaign ribbon. You've served your country. You do not have to wait to retire to join the Veterans of Foreign Wars. You are a veteran.
That's right. You are a veteran.
You are.
You qualify. You're eligible. You've earned it.
And that's the big thing, Jerry. they earned the right. Not everybody right. in the military can belong to the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
That's right.
We are an elite group of combat veterans.
That's right. Ooh-ah.
Yeah. Ooh-ah.
Absolutely. Hey, Bill, thank you for being with us, man. We appreciate it. And, you know, it's just always good to let people know about what the VFW is all about, because it's like any organization, a lot of misconception, and people just don't take the time to find out.
Right. And when the director of membership, Matt Clausen, gets out of bed or whatever he's doing because he's not feeling good today.
Oh, is that okay?
You tell him we'll have him on the show. And if he can't make it because he's too namby-pamby, next time we'll have you back on, Bill.
I would love to come back on.
I think Bill's our man. Bill's our go-to guy.
All right,
well,
Bill.
You, he's got a little of the sniffles, and I think that, you know, although he's from Illinois, I'm not sure he's ready for this cold Kansas City weather.
Yeah, that may be it. Yeah. Well, Bill, thank you, man. Have a great Christmas.
You too. Now, thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Yeah, Bill Blomquist. I mean, you know, it's important for people to know that kind of stuff. And I do want to say though, Jerry, just as kind of an example of what he was talking about community wise, the post that I visited in Overland Park, Kansas a few weeks ago that held the Thanksgiving dinner. The Thanksgiving dinner there was open to the public.
Right.
You didn't have to be a veteran. You didn't have to belong to the VFW. It's just, hey, man, if you're in the zip code, if you're in the area, come by and get a free dinner. And that
A lot of people think, first, VFW post is a place where you're going. Most VFW posts don't even have facilities where you can have alcoholic drinks.
I guess you'll have to show me statistics on that. Anyway, because, you know, the one in Overland Park did.
Less than 20%.
Really?
Right.
Wow. That's
the numbers.
Who would go there? All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
The only truth you'll hear on the radio, the National Defense.
The VFW is looking for a few more heroes. The largest combat veterans organization in America wants to get you involved and keep you active. With nearly 2 million members and 9,000 posts around the country, the VFW is doing the tough job of supporting our troops. You can be a part of all the excellent programs that keep the fires burning on the front lines. Programs such as Operation Uplink, with phone cards for active duty and hospitalized veterans, Adopt a Unit, which provides assistance for nearly 1,000 military units, and care package efforts for the troops serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. Only someone who's been there can understand what it means to be remembered. The VFW has been the heart and soul of the military for over 100 years. Isn't it time you stake your claim as a veteran? Call the VFW Membership Department at 1-888-JOIN-VFW or log on to VFW.org for more details. You've served your country. Now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
In a military warehouse south of Washington, D.C., a USO stuffing party is in full swing. By the end of the day, volunteers will have stuffed over 10,000 USO care packages, packed them in boxes, loaded them on trucks, and sent them on their way to our soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and military bases around the world. They'll stuff them full of things that most of us take for granted, but that our troops don't often have. Things like toiletries, playing cards, candy, books, little things. Little things that carry an enormous message to our troops. Little things like thank you, like we'll never forget you, like we're behind you 100%. Like we love and cherish each and every one of you. Little things. We're all about the little things. We're the USO, so are you. For more information and to find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org, the USO. Until everyone comes home.
Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry. And now that you know how to join the VFW, I guess we're done. That's all you need to know. Hey, listen, I got to tell you something too, because we've got, you know, this is the last show for the year. We've got two best of shows coming up that you don't want to miss, because there have been some great things on there. A lot of celebrities, a lot of different topics discussed, and you want to catch up on those over the next couple of weeks. But then when we come back live in January, man, we got some great news. We're going to be joining a network called Radio America Network. It's sensational. I mean, they contacted, you know, the program has been growing by leaps and bounds since we started 3 years ago. and a little bit here and there, and the webcasting, and you can go to thenationaldefense.com to listen to the show streaming. But now picked up by this network, which will double the number of affiliates around the country, and you'll be able to get it in more regions every week. So that is some exciting news, Jerry.
It is, and you know, we just we welcome that opportunity to broaden our listener base and
listen,
spread the word. And
yeah, we don't need any more emails from Alaska. What is it about
Alaskans? What, well, they love us.
What do we do in Alaska? That's got to be the biggest, highest powered radio station in the world.
And I don't know after Sarah Palin if that's at all a compliment.
Is that still on?
Anyway,
yeah, right.
Yeah. Hey, Randy, you know, it's last show for the year. And I just wanted to take a minute and thank you, and thank Nate, who takes a lot of our abuse week after week.
And
does such a great job of editing and doing all sorts of things, bleeping words out and keeping us out of jail. But really, sincerely, Randy, thanks for all your help.
My pleasure.
You guys really help us help our veterans and our military, and that means a lot. So thanks very much.
Well, and thank you, Jerry, and thank all the folks at the VFW. You know, we got started with this thing 3 years ago. I really had no idea, not some great information about the VFW, and to see where the VFW is today, and the kind of things it accomplishes and does and provides for the military and their families. I mean, it's just been great for me to be a part of that. And it's, you know, I meet people all the time that have questions about the VFW and how can I get involved. And I think through this radio show, we've really raised the awareness of the VFW, and a lot of people are understanding what the VFW does. So thanks a lot, man. Have a great Christmas.
You too.
Happy New Year.
Same to you.
And remember the troops.
Always.
Remember the troops. Thank you so much. We will be back in January, next couple of weeks, best of shows. You guys have a great Christmas, and we'll see you next year right here on the National Defense.
I never thought that this is where I'd settle down. Thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag, told my mom and dad, we're proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace. I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. I remember Daddy brought me here when I was 8. We searched all day to find out where my granddad lay. And when we finally found that cross, he said, son, this is what it cost to keep us free. Now here I am, 1,000 stones.